Welcome back, folks. This is Shadow Meld, Shadow Meld's Laboratory, and we're on another short episode this week, so it's going to be just a single team and no actual combination for Shadow Meld's Laboratory. But we'll be picking that back up here soon. We're just getting everything established under new management. Today, we're going to be talking about a team that I'm calling Good Synergy. Normally, in Shadow Meld's Laboratory, I wouldn't talk about things like good or niceness or fancy unicorns. But today, we're using these types of cards to do something I do like to talk about in Shadow Meld's Laboratory, and that is have good synergy. I had a request from one of our users to use the promo card Minsk and Boo. Go for the eyes, Boo. And I decided that was a great idea. I've been sitting on my Minsk and Boo for a while and wanted to find a way to actually get a use out of him. Today, we're going to be using Minsk and Boo as our form of targeted removal and late game closer. But we'll get to that. First, let's talk about the team. It uses a wide array of good aligned D&D characters, along with a few supporting elements, to help us build a team that has a lot of trips and hurdles to overcome anything our opponent decides to throw at us, and is surprisingly aggressive in the early and middle game. To start off with, we have the Halfling Thief Minion, Harper. It's a 2-cost mask character, Harper affiliation. It, of course, has the good stat, as well as the equipable stat, and experience, and a burst that says, when fielded, draw a die. If it is an NPC, place it in your use pile. If not, roll it. This halfling is a surprisingly powerful character. Now, it has an expensive 1 fielding cost, but if we keep in mind that that 1 fielding cost is going to either resurrect a die for us, basically draw a die if it's a sidekick, put it in the used, or draw a die, and if it's not a sidekick, roll it and get it immediately, she realistically pays for herself by getting rid of a sidekick that we don't want next turn or giving us either an energy or another character almost immediately. One note, when you do play this, always field your halflings before you do everything else on your turn. If you're going to keep your halflings and they are on level 1 or level 2, field them first, just so you can see what the other energy or die or character is going to be. So for the halfling, we have her on the team, mostly because she's a very cheap mask character who has the good stat and who can combo really well with the rest of our team. Another good character we have is the Elf Wizard, Greater Order of the Gauntlet. Normally I'm a fan of the common version of this character, but the common version isn't good. So we're going to be using the uncommon version, and she's a 3-cost Bolt Order of the Gauntlet character. Again, good, equipable, experience, and she has a when fielded and when blocking ability. When fielded, action dice cost 1 less to purchase that turn. When assigned to block, you move an action die from your used pile to your prep area. We have a way to make this win block happen. Because we have a force attack global, we can force our opponent to attack into us and trigger the ability relatively reliably. Speaking of force attack globals, we're bringing Mr. Fantastic, Brilliant Scientist, as one of our non-good characters. He's mostly here for his global, but he is a 3-cost mask character with a Fantastic Four affiliation, and he has the ability Mr. Fantastic gets +2 attack and +2 defense while blocking. His global is pay a mask. Target character must attack this turn. Again, we've talked about how we're bringing him along partially to fuel our Elf Wizard, but he's also a really great source of targeted removal and blocker clearing by forcing our opponent to attack us with their characters on their turn, leaving them open for us to attack on our turn. And as long as we're hitting for bigger, that sort of trade-off can win, especially if we can make it a lethal swing. The one thing that we have to watch out for is our characters also being forced to attack. But on this team, with the amount of high and early aggression that we're going to be trying to put out, it's generally okay for us to be attacking into our opponent, as long as we can either get a knockout or get through for damage. Losing a character from our board isn't that big a deal, usually. Our other non-good character that we have bringing with us is Ant-Man, Pym Particles. He's a 3-cost Fist Avenger, and he has the ability Ant-Man gets +2 defense while attacking. But the reason we're bringing him is for his global, Pay a Fist. Swap the attack and defense values of one of your characters. This guy has been a staple in the game since Uncanny X-Men, and he does such a unique ability that he allows highly defensive characters to be highly aggressive characters because of his ability. So with that in mind, we should be keeping an eye out for which characters we have that have good defenses and not a lot of cost or expenditure to get them out. For example, we've already mentioned the Elf Wizard and Mr. Fantastic, both of which have really good defenses for their cost, but not necessarily very good offenses. Adventurers, without a way to guarantee kills on monsters, can be somewhat of an issue. However, if we bring the Unicorn Paragon Beast, which is a 4-cost mask monster from the D&D set, he can buff all of our good characters, including both the adventurers we're bringing, so that they are more powerful than what we paid for them. Now, the Unicorn is a good affiliated character, and while active, your other good characters get +2 attack and defense. That means our Halfling Thieves, who are active at the same time as the Unicorn, are either 3/3s, 4/4s, or 5/5s that we paid 2 for. That is great value. The Elf Wizard is a 2/4, 3/5, or 4/6. Again, great value, especially if we can get that flip on, and then she's a 4/2. She basically has Wolverine stats if we can get the flip on. So with the Unicorn on the board, all of our good characters become even more powerful. But the adventurers we have going on right now aren't necessarily win condition cards. We do have two other good characters on our team, though. We have the Copper Dragon, Legendary Dragon, which is a OP card from D&D Month 2, I believe. He's a 5-cost shield character with a monster affiliation. He's a good aligned, and he has a Breath Weapon 1. What he says is when you KO an opposing character with Copper Dragon's Breath Weapon, you may move an NPC or sidekick from your used pile to your prep area. Basically, this guy is a personal-only micro Professor Xavier global. Every sidekick he kills on your opponent's team, every one defense Serena or one defense Storm that he kills with his breath weapon, gives us one sidekick from our use pile to our prep area. It's a small bit of ramp, but otherwise his one breath weapon and his stat line are really all we need. Compared to the other Copper Dragons that are out there, if, for example, you don't have this OP card, you could swap it for any of the other Copper Dragons, including any of the four costs. The four costs actually are probably a neater fit, but this guy brought a utility ability that those 4-cost Copper Dragons just don't have with their equipment hate. This guy brings a special ability that doesn't care about equipment, and that's the reason I put him on the team as opposed to those 4-cost Copper Dragons. What's going to be really great about him is he's going to be able to breath weapon and clear away all those low-cost guys and then attack through and hit for 5, 7, or 8 without a Unicorn, but with Ant-Man's global, or for 7, 9, or 10 damage with the Unicorn and Ant-Man global. That's a heavy hitter, even for a 5-cost. But if you brought the 4-cost instead, man, 4-cost for 10 damage? That's insane. 11 damage, even, if you count the breath weapon damage that it does to your opponent. We also have, of course, Minsk Enbu. He's a 5-cost promo card, no affiliation. He can only have one die on the card. He's good and equipable. And he says, while active, Minsk Enbu get an experience token at the end of your turn. If Minsk Enbu go to the use pile, remove all of the experience tokens. Now, that's something to note, is if Minsk Enbu get KO'd, but you re-roll them, and they come back out on the field, they don't lose their experience tokens. It's only when the die, whether from leaving the field or from coming up energy and getting spent and going to the use pile, that is the only moment when Minsk Enbu lose their experience. And then, of course, he also has the ability, once per turn, you may remove a token from Minsk Enbu to force an opposing character to block. This guy, we can put him on the board, and we can just sit and let him build up tokens. Now, again, he's good. So, at the very least, he's a 055 or a 166 or a 188 if we have a unicorn on the board. Considering we paid 5 fists for that, he's bigger than Superman. He's cheaper than Superman. And he gets bigger at the end of every turn. That's a ridiculously powerful ability. Now, I also mentioned that he's one of our game closers. So what we'll do is we'll put him out on the board. We'll take a token off if we really need to like targetedly remove something. But if we don't, what we can do is we can buy one of our basic actions, Stealth Ops, and target Minsk. Minsk, targeted by Stealth Ops with a unicorn on the board. If he's been out for at least one turn, that's 6 damage, unblockable, that we do to our opponent. If he's been out for 4 turns, that's 9 damage, unblockable. And every turn that he's unblocked, he just gets bigger and bigger. And Stealth Ops, while it does spin him down to his 3-3 face, the unicorn gives him +2/+2, and every experience token gives him another +1/+1. So the longer our opponent lets us sit it on the board and wait for our Stealth Ops to come around, the harder it's going to hurt our opponent. So it's a really good ticking time bomb that our opponent has to deal with. Now, I know I jumped to our basic actions, but we do have one more card. We have Prismatic Spray Greater Spell. It's a 5-cost action with a neutral alignment, and all characters are treated as if they have 1 attack and 1 defense until the end of the turn. Fielding costs remain unchanged. Now, there's some reminder text that says instead of their normal values, they get a 1 attack, 1 defense, regardless of the new bonuses. What this means is we can make all the characters on the field 1/1s and attack with our Copper Dragon and pay 1 for the Breath Weapon, kill our opponent's entire field. We may be attacking through with our Copper Dragon, and we may lose him, but we'll get 1 damage in, maybe 2 damage in, and we'll have cleared our opponent's entire board for our next turn. Hopefully they don't roll everything back up again, but it's a good way to AoE clear and wipe out everything our opponent has. Now, we do have an option to make Prismatic Spray hurt us just a little less. We have Shockwave, the basic action. It's a 5-cost basic action. It says KO all level 1 characters when you play it. On a double or single burst, we also deal 3 damage to an opposing player. However, it's the global that's important. Global, pay 1, target level 1 character is unaffected by action dice this turn. So, for example, with that Copper Dragon we were talking about, if we have a level 1 Copper Dragon, that's a 1/2/5 Copper Dragon, and we have a unicorn on the board, we can pay 1 with the Shockwave Global to make the dragon immune to the Shockwave Global. Then we can attack with the dragon, pay 1 for Breath Weapon, and then we pay 1 fist to flip the dragon's stats, and now the dragon is a 7/4 attacking, and he did 1 Breath Weapon to clear all of our opponent's characters. So he effectively does 8 damage on that combo, and meanwhile we maintain the rest of our board. That was just 1 character that swung through and 1 basic action that we triggered. And every character that we killed with that breath weapon is going to prep us a sidekick for the next turn. So it's a nice everything you could want out of one maneuver type of ability. And I already mentioned Stealth Ops is our last one. It's a 3-cost basic action. Target character die is considered to be level 1 and is unblockable this turn. It also has a global, pay 2 masks, spend target character die down 1 level. The disruption that this can cause by allowing you to choose what level your opponent's characters are at, or at least spending them down so that you can shockwave them or shockwave your characters, however you need, that sort of combination works really well to just disrupt and disorient your opponent. One thing to consider is if you spend your opponent's characters down to level 1, you can then pay 1 to shockwave global them so that they cannot be affected by the lantern ring limited only by imagination, which should probably be renamed lantern ring limited only by imagination and the shockwave global, because it stops the lantern ring dead in its tracks. As for how to play this team, you're looking to get a few adventurers out early and ramp up to your bigger characters. Depending on what your opponent's bringing, you may want to skip actually fielding your adventurers on the first few turns and try to roll energy on them so you can buy the larger characters. What you can do is also force your opponent to tack into you, block with your low-level adventurers who may not have experience yet, and get them killed right before you roll so that you can have the character on the field, block your opponent, and still get that energy to ramp with and roll to try to buy those bigger characters and have them come back around. That's a trick you want to do early in the game so that you can get characters back out before your opponent swarms the board and overwhelms you. So starting out, we're looking at first turn, we want to purchase either a unicorn, or elf wizard, or a halfling thief and field as many sidekicks as we can. Again, thinning your bag and getting at least four sidekicks on the board is almost mandatory when we're not bringing any other forms of ramp. Copper Dragon does it for us, but he's expensive to get to, and Halfling Thief greatly appreciates a bag that's not going to draw any sidekicks. And if you do draw a sidekick with Halfling Thief, it's not that big of a deal. Unicorn needs to be an early purchase, though, because it's a cheap die to put on the field, it's a decent body for its cost, and it makes all of your other cheap characters that much stronger, that much faster. And if you think about it, if you spend on your first turn, you get a unicorn, on your second turn, you get a halfling thief, and then you come back around and you roll level 3 on all of them, that's 3 fielding cost for 14 damage. And you bought all of that on turn 2 without any ramp. If you can get that to come back around and your opponent is still trying to ramp into things, a 14 damage hit is insanely powerful. And if you did that over the course of 2 turns, that's only 6 out of your 8 dice. You had 2 other dice to ramp with or buy another halfling so that you could make it 19 damage instead. You know, all sorts of different ways to make that sort of effect very lethal for our opponent. Well, that's the team. If you want to see more of how it works, you can check out the In the Lab episode that Dylan and I have already posted for this week. Now, you'll notice one difference on the In the Lab episode. I was using the OP Treant instead of the Uncommon Elf Wizard. I realized I was misreading the wording on the Treant. I thought he reduced his purchase cost, but he reduces his fielding cost. So I made the swap because the Copper Dragon and the Treant were kind of overlapping in on my team, and I needed just another option early on. The Halfling Thief was not quite doing everything I needed it to do. So the Elf Wizard brought along a few other tricks and combos for me. So he was she rounded out the team really well. If you do have any questions about the team, feel free to post in the comments below the podcast, or private message me on the forums, or make a thread somewhere talking about the team. And if you have any more suggestions or want to see other characters or things, now is a great time to do it. We are a little overwhelmed with how much stuff we're trying to do to get ramped up for the upcoming Amazing Spider-Man set. And every set after that, we're trying to get some strategies down on what our best practices are, so you will have a reliable and continuous expectation of what we're going to be bringing to you in every set. All the spoilers you could want, all the reviews, analyses, all those things. We're getting that locked down into a pretty hard and fast schedule, especially now that we know what sets are coming in the next 4 or 5 months. So hopefully it'll all turn out amazing and you guys will love it and enjoy it. But for now, just use this team. Again, we're calling it Good Synergy. It's got a 5-0 record, I believe, on Vassal, but it was only against 2 opponents. They were great guys. They had some really good competitive teams. They just weren't prepared for the massive, overwhelming adventurers that I brought with me because both of them had kobolds. So if you have a bunch of people that you know who play kobolds, try this team out. They'll hate you. Alrighty, that's it for today. Thanks again. Later.